Welcome to Minnesota Arts on the Road. I'm Glenn Broggett. This time around, we welcome British-born blues rock singer, songwriter, and longtime Minnesota resident and scenester Nigel Egg. Before leaving his homeland, the United Kingdom, Nigel Egg cut his teeth with various groups in and around the London scene in the late 1960s and early 70s, playing with the likes of Mott the Hoople and Supertramp, just to name a few. He was also part of the short-lived group Nexus, put together by well-known producer Giorgio Gomelski, that disbanded in 1969 with little fanfare. In 1972, Nigel arrived in the United States, moved to Minnesota, went to school, got himself a family and a career, and a few years later took a 25-year-plus sabbatical from the music business. In 2007, he returned to the music industry, and in June 2010, Egg released the album Big Bang Baby Boom. In 2013, Nigel Egg continues to write music and play gigs throughout Minnesota and other parts of the upper Midwest and other parts of the United States as well. The following was recorded June 27, 2013 at the Floyd B. Olson Park Gazebo in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Minnesota Arts on the Road is supported through a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Let's enjoy the music of Nigel Egg.
Tailor-made clothes, luxury car, corner office, I've come pretty far. A place in the community, proud of everything I've done. I'm such a lucky man, I wonder where these blues come from. Wonderful home, comfortable life, good-looking kids, a beautiful wife, one or more of everything I ever dreamed I'd call my own. I'm such a lucky man, I wonder where these blues come from. Well, I go to restaurants, I drink fine wine, I see the latest shows, I go out on a town. I thought that I'd be happy when I had the things that everybody wants. I'm such a lucky man, I wonder where these blues come from. Tailor-made clothes and a luxury car, a corner office, I've come pretty far. A place in the community, I'm proud of everything I've done. I'm such a lucky man, I wonder where these blues come from. I got the lucky man blues. Lucky man blues. I'm such a lucky man, I wonder where these blues come from. I'm such a lucky man. I wonder where these blues come from.
Hi, Glenn Brockett with Pioneer 90.1 FM. I am talking today with Mr. Nigel Egg, who just finished up his performance at tonight's Singer-Songwriters event. Thank you for taking some time to chat with us, sir, and what a great performance it was.
Well, thank you. It was really fun to be out here in the park with under the gazebo and a lot of great people. A couple of little rain showers, but everyone came up on stage and joined us on stage, so that was good.
Have you been up this far into the state?
Well, you know, I've been up into Winnipeg and didn't come through Thief of the Falls, though. But
all right, can you give us a little background information on yourself, sir?
Well, I grew up in England. I came over here to go to grad school, actually, in the early 70s. Dropped out of grad school, and I played in bands for about 10 years. Then I've had about 20-some years in corporate life. Actually, my official retirement date is June 30th. Yes. So as of July the 1st, I'm officially a full-time musician again.
All right. Let's talk about those early days now. When did you first get bit by the music bug? What drew you into music initially?
Well, I got paid when I was six to be in the church choir in the big church in Ramsgate, England. They were all male voice choirs in those times, so the high parts were sung by boys, and boys aren't going to do it unless they got paid. So you got paid for rehearsal and you got paid for services. The best was a funeral. You got a half a crown for a funeral.
So, all right then, eh?
So that was, I got some training there. Then high school rock and roll band, college band. Dropped out of college. I was in the music scene in London for a year.
You hugged me in the shower, the one I built brand new. You kissed me in the kitchen I remodeled just for you. Now you just act cool when I build you something new. Tell me what your heart desires, I'll go buy the tools. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. It's my third trip there today, but I don't mind. I need a few more parts to build a way back to your heart. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. You used to stroke my tool belt, you said it made you hot. My heart would start to hammer, my drill press never stopped. I was your handyman, let me prove that I still can. Tell me what you want and I'll go start the minivan. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. It's my third damn trip today, but I don't mind. I need a few more parts to build a way back to your heart. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. Well, the guys there know my name, they might even feel my pain. I see them shake their heads. Whew, here comes that guy again. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. It's my third damn trip today, but I don't mind. I need a few more parts to build a way back to your heart. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. I'm going to Home Depot one more time. The only light in the room is from the big red numbers, 1207, 1208. Katie said she'd be home by 11. It's not like her to be late without calling. I try to visualize pleasant things, but I can't stop the pictures of my daughter in trouble. I wish I knew where Katie was. My favorite picture of Katie was taken on the beach in England when she was 4. Holding up a double ice cream cone like the Statue of Liberty holds up a torch. She's got an ice cream beard and a big wide smile for her daddy with the camera. I wish I knew where Katie was. She went out with her friends on the hockey team. She's smart, she's strong, shoots left, plays D. I'm sure they're all just fine. I don't know why I worry. I just wish I knew. It's what parents do. She likes to say she's the favorite child. Some days she is, some days she isn't. I'm gonna call the other parents if she doesn't get home in the next 20 minutes. I hope to God she's all right. I hope I don't kill her when she finally walks in the door. I wish I knew where Katie was. She's gonna leave next year and be a college girl. She's smart, she's strong, works hard, makes friends. Won't know where she is or what she's doing, who she's with, who she loves. It won't do any good to worry. I just wish she'd hurry up and get home. I wish I knew where Katie was.
Tell us about some of those gigs, you know, once you got into the rock and roll in London.
Well, it was the trade paper is called Melody Maker in London or in England, and I answered an ad for a vocalist and auditioned, got the job. It was a band called Nexus, and we had every opportunity open to us. We had, it was a Polydor Records thing. We had a top-notch producer, Giorgio Gomelski. We had Chaz Chandler came and looked at us as a management thing, but we were crap. Unfortunately, we were no good.
Is that just what eventually went wrong? You guys just couldn't quite get it together?
We just weren't very good, and we didn't know it, really.
What was it like to hold a court and have an audience with a producer like Giorgio Gomelski? Because, man, that guy worked with some stars.
Yeah, he was the Stones' original manager and ran Quartetti Club. And, you know, and I was pretty clueless. I didn't know who he was, so, but I could tell he knew what he was doing. But it was just cool. I learned a heck of a lot. Yeah. That band broke up, and I auditioned. Then I started auditioning with other bands, and that's where I met Supertramp. Got through a couple of auditions with them. They ended up deciding to go with a sax player instead. But
Now tell me about, you mentioned Supertramp, a great group from the UK, but the group that I really love, man, Moth the Hoople.
Moth the Hoople.
Tell me about the Hoople.
Yeah, they were called, what the heck was their name at that time? They weren't called Moth the Hoople at that time. They had, so I auditioned with them again and I got called back, did another audition. But that was when Ian Hunter joined the band from that same audition. He'd been auditioning all through that same year. I met him at several auditions. So
now you were kicking around London, the scene there, and you ended up in the United States. Tell us about, you know, heading over here. And what was your impression of the United States when you first touched down and you began a life here?
Well, I thought it was going to be like in the movies and on TV, you know, with lots of people shooting each other and streets paved with gold, and I'd have a Cadillac and all that kind of thing. And it's funny how that all came true.
Yeah.
It's just like that. Except maybe here in Thief River Falls, it's a little more peaceful.
Yeah.
Whose picture is this? It's all cracked and old. You've got your arms around two senoritas
It looks like Mexico. That Clapton t-shirt. You have to be quiet up here, though. That crazy grin. Shh. Now wait. Whose picture is this? It's all cracked and old. You've got your arms around two senoritas. It looks like Mexico. That Clapton t-shirt. That crazy grin. I still remember wearing them when I was you. When I was young, I never walked when I could run. I pushed the engines till they blew. And didn't we laugh and live enough for two when I was you? The wild blue yonder asked you to dance. You burned through money, friends and women like there was no second chance. The gal that loved you gave up the race. I wear her memory on my face. When I was you, when I was young, I never walked when I could run. I pushed the engines till they blew. And didn't we laugh and live enough for two when I was you? I don't regret it. That never pays. But if you'd bought a piece of land or started up an IRA, didn't happen. I can't be blue. Can't blame myself for being you. When I was you, when I was young, I never walked when I could run. I pushed the engines until they blew. Oh, and didn't we laugh and live enough for two when I was you? Thank you very much. You can't sing the blues with an English accent. You sound like a complete arsehole, actually, even if you do know the words to all 30 Robert Johnson songs. It's a language that we all share, but the credibility just isn't there. Can't sing the blues with an English accent. You can't sing the blues with a name like Nigel. It's too white, too social climber,
Mick Jagger never let anyone call him Nigel. It's a crying bloody shame. I don't have a bluesy name, and you can't sing the blues with an English accent. But the English get the blues just like the Mississippis do, and we have to let it out, just let it rip. It's a real bugger, isn't it? You get the blues, but if you sing it, you sound like Harry Potter or Prince Charles with a stiff upper lip. Strand on guitar. Thanks, Bobby. You know, it's true. You can't sing the blues with an English accent. So I'll become African American. It's what all the other English rockers used to do. Yeah, I'll take some John Lee hooker lessons. How, how, how. Till I start a Hollywood confessing. And save the accent for my Jimmy Kimmel interview. Cause you can't sing the blues with an English accent.
You ended up taking a hiatus from music. Could you talk about the hiatus you took?
Yeah, I was. I dropped out of grad. I came over here to go to grad school. I dropped out after a couple of years. I was making enough money for music that I didn't need my TA, and I was just playing on what's called the West Bank in Minneapolis, playing in jam bands, and then in country rock bands. So 10 years, I just made my living from doing music. But then when I met my wife to be, Pam. She thought it'd be a great idea if I got a different kind of job, and so I did. I went back to school and got a certificate as a computer programmer and joined Lutheran Brotherhood in 1985, and I'm just retiring from them right this week.
Oh, cheers, man.
Yeah.
And, well, could you talk about what led you back to the music, man? Because you were making such great music now. What initially brought you back?
Well, it's a sickness, kind of, and, you know, anyone who's a musician or a songwriter will... There's some kind of compulsion there. It's really what I've always really wanted to do. I never really wanted to make money or raise a family or any of that stuff. I just wanted to play guitar and sing. And so, it's just been a little 28-year hiatus while we get the kids through college, get a pension fund together, and now I can do it. Now I can do it full-time again.
When you were pregnant with our first child and I didn't want to get married, you shut me out of your life. I missed you so badly, baby, I could have laid down and died. You took me back and I made you my bride. We raised a beautiful family that makes me feel so proud. I missed you so much that first time. I've kept my feet on the ground, but I've never missed you more. No, I've never missed you more. I've never missed you more than I do now. The army posted me away overseas. I had to honor my part of the bargain I made to earn a degree. I missed you so badly, baby, while I was serving our country. That weekly phone call we were allowed didn't give me enough time to tell you just how I feel about being gone. I missed you every minute until the day I came home. But I've never missed you more. No, I've never missed you more. I've never missed you more than I do now. Now something's stealing your thoughts and your memories. I can't do nothing to fight it. The sparkle's faded from your eyes. I miss you so badly, baby, but I thank God you're alive. If you could give me some kind of sign, you know it's me that's here with you. I wanna feel you heart to heart. We're holding hands across the table, oh, but we're miles and mountains apart. And I've never missed you more. No, I've never missed you more. I've never missed you more than I do now.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Minnesota Arts on the Road with our very special guest, Nigel Egg.
You can't have a fan on in a room where my baby lay. You can't have a fan on in a room where my baby lay. The scent of her still lingers, and the air she breathed remain. You can't open the door to the room where my baby lay. You can't open the door to the room where my baby lay. Her warm skin is still printed on the sheets and blankets she betrayed. She breathed the air she breathed, the air she breathed is the air I breathe. Don't turn on the light, let her shadow lay. Leave the light off, just let her shadow lay there. Her scent, her heat, her shadow, and the air she breathed remain. The air she breathed, the air she breathed, the air she breathed is the air I breathe. The air she breathed.
Since you ended the hiatus and you jumped back into it and you're back to doing the stuff that you initially loved.
Well, I've been writing songs all along. About 5 years ago is when I decided, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, and sort of had a 5-year plan to get out of corporate life and back into music. And so I've been writing a lot of different stuff. I'm really kind of focused now. The new stuff I'm writing is mostly blues. Next album I'm going to do, actually I'm going to start recording it soon, will be a blues album. And the thing with, I'm a little disappointed with a lot of the blues recordings I hear, modern ones, especially with the songwriting, because they, you know, they might have one good idea or one good verse, but then the song doesn't really go anywhere. So I'm trying to, I mean, I definitely want to have one foot in the blues tradition, but the other foot stepping out a little bit and going somewhere else. You know, that's one of my big heroes is Willie Dixon. And that's what he did in the 60s and 70s. He had one foot in the blues tradition, but the other foot was going other places. And he revolutionized the blues, not only here, but in England.
Now, you are a member of the Minnesota Association of Songwriters. In fact, you're currently on their board of directors. Now, could you talk about the MAS and how important it is, not only for you, but for those other Minnesota singers and songwriters as well? Talk about the importance of your group.
Yeah, I mean, it's so great to have support from other songwriters and other songwriters who can listen to your stuff and give you some useful feedback about it. The society has two meetings a month. I don't make all of them, but I do any song that seems to be working out for me. I want to take and get their feedback and have them, you know, tear it apart if that's what they feel like doing. And it's just a great support organization. I'm currently the showcase director. We'll do a dozen showcases this year, performances where people can get up and do 20, 30 minute spots.
I'm sitting in the third row on the aisle. The camera turns towards me and I smile. The tension mounts, my hands are getting clammy at the thought of giving the acceptance speech for my Grammy. I'm a solid lock to win the final vote. Four of the five nominations, songs I wrote. Dear God, don't let me forget to thank my mammy when I get up to give the acceptance speech for my Grammy. I write the songs by myself, 'cause I can. It humbles me that you realize how good I am. My workshop fee will double, oh god damn it. I should mention my website in the acceptance speech for my Grammy. Now Dolly reads the country song Grammy nominations. Sting takes out the letter, starts to read my confirmation. There's something very, very wrong with his pronunciation. That guy won? Well, sure, great song, man. Says a lot. You're a great songwriter, yeah. A bridesmaid again, that's twice in a row. And I was this close to being on the Jimmy Fallon show. But it's all good, I won't get melodrammy. I've got a whole year to work on the acceptance speech for my Grammy. For my Grammy.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Hey, what do you think about a sing-along song? This is, I had an attempt a couple of years ago to make the new Minnesota State song. It's called Why Minnesota, My Minnesota. Here's how it goes. It goes, why Minnesota? Because it's my Minnesota. It's the greatest state to be, right? I know my neighbor would do me a favor. My Minnesota is for me. You want to try it? Oh, why Minnesota? 'Cause it's my Minnesota. It's the greatest state to be. I know my neighbor would do me a favor. My Minnesota is for me. Got it? All right, here we go. There's always something to complain about in Minnesota. Minnesota weather,
Minnesota tax, pothole skeeter bites, klutzy quarterbacks. Why Minnesota? 'Cause it's my Minnesota. It's the greatest state to be. I know my neighbor. I know my neighbor would do me a favor. My Minnesota is for me. There's always something to be glad about in Minnesota. Minnesota weather, Minnesota lakes, good schools, clean air, hardly any snakes. Why Minnesota? 'Cause it's my Minnesota. It's the greatest state to be. I know my neighbor would do me a favor. My Minnesota is for me. Let's spell it out. Ready? Minnesota. It's okay.
And you are still very much playing a load of gigs from your website, man. You're a well-traveled guy in 2013. Now, what's that live experience like for you at this stage of your life and your career making music?
Well, the live thing, there's just no feeling like when the room is all like in the moment and in the music. And basically, I own the room and have that... I don't know what it is. There's no other feeling like it. It's an ecstatic feeling of just being right here, right now, and we're all there together in the music. And that only happens in live situations.
Now, do you have any real memorable gigs that kind of come up since you've been playing? Some stuff that kind of sticks out that you remember saying, you know what, that was a pretty cool gig, or that was just an interesting gig. What a interesting crowd that I initially, didn't have a clue about.
Well, the first thing that came to mind was a gig we had at Orchestra Hall. It was kind of a pickup band thing. David Bromberg was in town, and so we opened for David Bromberg, and the sound was weird. There was no monitors, and we actually got booed off stage, and people threw things at us at Orchestra Hall in Minneapolis. So that was one.
That's quite the mental picture you're painting there.
And here's another one. It's funny, I was playing at Dunn Brothers in Farmington, Minnesota, which is just south of the cities.
Uh-huh.
It's just a little coffee house. Nothing, you wouldn't expect it to be a great gig.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those times when everything came together, the audience, the music, and me, and it was just magical. And, if you get a couple of those a year, it makes everything else worth it.
Now, where can listeners go to find out more about the continuing adventures of Nigel Egg, man? You are a real man among around town, let's just say, man.
Well, I have a website, nigelegg.com. And if you Google Nigel Egg, there is one other Nigel Egg, but I'm the one that's going to come up on top of the list. And I just love it if people sign up for my newsletter. Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, get some free downloads. And I have a witty, erudite newsletter that comes out a couple times a month.
Now, any last comments here before we part ways this evening?
Well, I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to play up here in Thief River Falls. It's a beautiful location and nice people. And to Carl Unbehound for inviting us.
Thank you so much, Nigel Egg.
Thanks, Glenn.
Short red skirt, walking in slow commotion. Here she comes. With a high heel, long legs, working in collaboration. I wanted some. Red lips, brown eyes, the easy way she smiled. It's enough to make a man go, hoo, my, my, my. Short red skirt, walking in my direction. She's beautiful. I had a clever line ready. I wanna make a cool impression. I am cool. But when she stopped and smiled, looked me in the eye, my brain shut down. I went, "Hoo, my, my, my." And I really blew my cool, what a fool. Never ever had a case being so tongue-tied. I had to try again, so I smiled at her and then I said, "Hi, hoo, my, my, my." Short red skirt hanging on the bedroom chair. She took me home. She said, "I like the way you say what's on your mind. I can tell you really care. Most guys don't. Oh, they act so cool with their stupid pickup lines. Tell me if this makes you wanna. Hoo, my, my, my. Hoo, my, my, my.
This has been Minnesota Arts on the Road with our special guest, Nigel Egg, recorded live June 27, 2013 at the Floyd B. Olson Park Gazebo in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Photos and audio from this show and other Pioneer 90.1 original programs can be found at RadioNorthland.org. A big thank you to our sound man extraordinaire, Ben Kasharik. Minnesota Arts on the Road is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For Pioneer 90.1, I'm Glenn Broggett.